The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
And there you have it. That's some brand new music for us right here on Radio Memphis. That is from Gary Vassie, all the way from the Czech Republic. And, you know, it's funny because it's a real beautiful thing on how I came across him. And as I told you guys before, we have such incredible programming on here on Radio Memphis. We do a lot of crazy cool things. And one of the cool things that we do is we have a fantastic relationship with the show The Existence of Strange Things. And as it turns out, of course, it airs, you know, on Friday nights right here at radio-memphis.com. And this particular individual, you know, Mr. Gary Vassie himself, who happened to be a guest on this particular show. And, you know, it was one of those where, you know, obviously I like to learn a lot about, you know, about the people and stuff that are able to, you know, appear even with the shows that are associated with our station. And, you know, and one of the things, you know, after really doing some research, you know, obviously, you know, if you guys, if you know, because you guys, everybody that tunes into Radio Memphis, I hear all the other stuff, and they're everybody's kind of aware that, you know, that, you know, Gary has appeared on the station, or you've heard him on the station, you know, through The Existence of Strange Things, but that, you know, he himself, you know, he's, I started going through his websites and stuff like that, you know, and because you guys know I'm a stalker, and so I had to find out a little bit about him. Now, of course, according to his website, which I thought was absolutely just charming the way he put it, was that, you know, he's a Yorkshire man, a rabid tiger fan that has spent most of his adult life lost in deep Texas, and more lately in the Czech Republic, while lucky enough to write for a living as a leading analyst in the commodity trading and risk management industry. He writes strange poems as well, equally strange books and stories on topics of metaphysics, the occult, the paranormal on the side, and hoping that one day somebody might actually buy his books. Now look, check this out, okay? There's a lot of people that buy this gentleman's book. He is a fantastic author, okay? He's a very accomplished author. He's got tons of stuff out there. And, you know, and it was like, the more I read about him, I was like, this dude is absolutely brilliant. But not only is he smart, brilliant, and he talks about all these crazy cool, you know, cool things on the side, he's also a musician. He's also a songwriter. And so we were able to get a hold of some of his music. Now, not only were we able to get a hold of some of his music, you know, we were able to get a hold of Gary himself. And I happen to have Gary Vassie on the phone with me right now. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am wonderful. Thank you so much for taking some time down and spending some time with me on Radio
Memphis. It's all mine. Thank you very much for having me on.
Are you kidding? You know, honey, I'm kind of blown away by the fact that you're such a quasi smart, cool dude, and it was like, and you do music, and I think
I've always done music. I just I never thought about doing it sort of semi-seriously, you know, until a couple of years ago.
Perfect. Well, I think that was the thing for me. And for those of you that have tuned in, I'm talking to Gary Vassie at the Czech Republic. You know, we're talking about, you know, some of his cool music and stuff that we've been able to share with you right here on Radio Memphis. I think one of the things that I came across, it was on your site, and, you know, and you talk about, you know, you have a place, you know, where you actually talk about your music and stuff like that, and that you know, early on, we're talking years and years and years ago, you were a band, and of course, you know, it was one of those things where you just stopped playing and you stopped doing it, and you stopped playing for a very, very long time. Then all of a sudden it was like, okay, I'm going to pick it back up again. Out of curiosity, what made you do
that's
that?
That's right. Well, I mean, I started in 1972, so I'm giving you my age away.
You look fantastic. And, I would have never guessed that.
Christmas, you know, as you do. And self-taught myself, joined a band at school. We made a record. We went into a recording studio, recorded one of my songs.
Wow.
B-side was Bye Bye Johnny.
Wow.
It was played on Radio Humberside, which is a local radio station in the UK where I'm from, Hull. And that was very exciting. And then I played around Hull for a while in a few sort of school bands and things, nothing really serious, just for fun.
Yeah.
I can tell you one funny story. We were in a band, I was in a band called Nemo.
Love it.
We had a gig at a church hall, North Ferriby Church Hall.
Love it.
This must be about 1975. And there was a kid at school that said, hey, I can do some smoke bombs and some lighting for you, you know, if you want. So I said, oh yeah, come along. So we started with Smoke on the Water, and he set off two smoke bombs. And we only got halfway through the first song because the place was so filled with smoke, they called the fire brigade.
Yes, perfect. That's punk rock right there. That's perfect. Love it. Absolutely love it.
But, I then went off to college, and I was a stage manager at a university called Aston University in Birmingham.
Okay.
And stage manager at the Students' Union. So I got to meet a bunch of people that now, of course, everybody would know. Paul Young, The Police, Reckless Eric, Susie and the Banshees.
See, that makes perfect...
A bunch of people.
That makes perfect sense. When you just named off those, that makes perfect sense.
I even got a kiss from Rachel Sweet. I don't know if you remember Rachel.
Oh, my goodness.
Stiff label, yeah.
Oh my goodness!
And I had a quick smooch behind the stage, and then she played a song for me, which I'll always remember because it was "My End's True" from Elvis Costello.
Oh!
And
wow!
And then I got a job, you know, and you just get sucked into things. We moved, you know, moved to the U.S. Spent almost 20 years in Houston, Texas. In fact, I got 3 grown sons, and if you don't mind, I'm going to say hello to Paul, Liam, and John.
Absolutely, absolutely.
One in Austin, 2 in Houston. And my 10-year-old daughter is listening in on the radio next door. So,
funny. Well, all of you, that your dad's a really cool dude. So, if you didn't know that, I'm going to go ahead and tell you now. So, that's actually from a source from here, and it's not coming from him.
what happened was, you know, I've been writing books for about 10 years, and you're right, I've had some success. I've had some number one, you know, supernatural number one hits on Amazon and so on.
Yeah,
I just make a little. I mean, it's pocket money, but it's nice pocket money to have, and it's a good hobby.
Sure, it is.
Collect those stories and that kind of thing.
Sure it is. You know
what else is on the bucket?
You know, I tell you, it was funny because as I was telling everybody, you know, I learned about you, you know, when you had appeared on The Existence of Strange Things, which is obviously a show that is placed on Radio Memphis. And so I was interested, you know, just by virtue of the show. And it was one of those things where, and a lot of people, they don't think that people do this, but like, I mean, I'm going to go look, you know, say, oh, who's this guy? Okay. What does he do? You know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, and to see, and when I found out that, you know, that you had some music kind of attached, I got real, you know, I got just kind of real mesmerized with this whole idea as far as, you know, how this all kind of fit in. And, you know, obviously music was a very special, you know, had a very special place for you, Gary. And it was kind of one of those things where, you have this real cool knack, and I don't know if you realize this. You know, there's a songwriting thing about you, and you and I have been able to exchange a couple emails, and you know, we've talked about, you know, some of your songs, and you know, that you've been sending over, and I didn't want to, and I'm glad that I get to tell you this, and you get to, you know, audibly hear me say this to you versus, you know, text and email, because there's no tone and you never know. But, you know, you had this thing for me where I was sitting there listening to this, the last song, The End of the World, the one that you just sent for us right here on Radio Memphis. I sat there and I listened to it. There was this moment in time where I was like, all of a sudden, I was like Breakfast Club. I was like, you know, 16 Candles, you know, I was like all this stuff. And I was like this real crazy mind trip I went on, right? And then it was like, but wait a minute, you know, and it was like, but this is, you know, this is now music, you know, and it was because it was real relevant to some of the stuff, you know, some of the other stuff that I've been coming across and playing. And I was like, I don't think he realizes that he's kind of a songwriter, like for real, you know.
Well, to be honest, I mean, as we discussed in email, I mean, I don't perform live. I mean, I do everything on that you hear is me. I have a little hub. Recording studio, I record everything, all the guitars, bass, lead, all the vocals. My 10-year-old daughter has occasionally helped me out with some harmonies and things.
Oh, perfect.
But I do everything myself, and it's very difficult to translate that to a live. I'd have to get a band together and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So I don't perform live, but my, you know, talking about bucket lists, my big bucket list item that's remaining is I would absolutely love some other band to record some of my songs. Yeah. That would be my dream come true.
See, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, all kidding aside, I mean, as far as lyrics and songs and writing, I mean, of course you're good. I mean, my God, how many books? I lost count because I kept going through all of them going, my God. I mean, I got to go get like one or two of them, you know, just because I have to know, you know. And I mean, I think you might actually answer some ulterior questions in my head about life and stuff. And I plan on getting some, but you know, but as far as the songwriting and things like that, it is amazing and it's awesome, you know, when somebody can create something and have that much love for what they create to hope that somebody would want to perform it. Do you understand what I meant when I said that?
Yeah, I certainly would like someone else to perform. I certainly would like other people to listen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it for fun, and but you know, when you do something creative for fun, you want to share it with people, and,
sure.
and it's very difficult. You know how crowded the business is. I mean,
yeah.
trying to promote a song without going, you were talking earlier about going on the road and all the issues, and
mm-hmm.
you must go on the road, and if you can't, then
mm-hmm.
you know what you're left with, social media and, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, so it's hard to get people to listen.
It
and
is.
You only post something on Facebook so many times before your friends just switch off anyway. You know?
Exactly. You're right, and you got it. And it's funny because, you know, we talk like, since you were listening in, you know, we were talking about the touring stuff, and you know, and sometimes I feel like I need to kind of go in further depth when I talk about this. You know, when you're getting started and you're helping, you know, and you're doing it all on your own and you're starting with your own music and stuff, yes, those are the things that you have to do. But see, here's the thing. Okay, because I'm going to pull you aside from that idea, you know, because of the songwriting ability that, you know, and caliber that you have, you know, is a little bit above and beyond even that stage, in that somebody that is established could take that song and, you know, and make it, you know, and make it into something that defines them. But the beautiful thing about the way you write is that it's not specific to just one genre or one style. Does that make sense? You know,
the funny thing is, is actually, if you knew my musical taste, I mean, it's a very eclectic musical taste for sure, but I mean,
perfect.
I always start out trying to write something like Bush, you know, grunge. I really like Bush, for example.
Okay.
I really want to emulate that sort of sound.
Sure.
But whatever I do, it always comes out sounding like me, so...
Well, see, there's nothing wrong with that, because that's you. Although, look, and if you heard me when I was introducing you, you know, I am a stalker, because I have to be. You have a thing for metal music, too.
Yeah, I do.
You do, okay? Which makes absolute perfect sense to me, okay? Just perfect sense. Just the thought I throw that out there. But no, I mean, when you're talking about collaborative, you know, as far as writing and creating and you know, and making, you know, making that idea, it is you. I mean, it is you. It's supposed to be you. You know, yes, you can listen to Bush. Yes, you can listen to those different people and go, okay, but see, that's the beauty of you, is that it's you. You understand? There's a lot of people that can't do that. That's what's needed.
Well, it's good fun doing it, and it's a good way to relieve emotion and tension and that kind of thing. And actually, I've completely changed the way I write. I used to write the lyrics and then try to force fit the lyrics to something.
I'm so glad you asked, because man, all right, you're in my head now. What? This is awesome. All right, so you do. So you do music.
So now I basically come up with a riff. Record the riff, and I have thousands and thousands of recorded riffs, you know, and some of them never get past just an idea. But then I start to work on it, and I basically put down a bass track. And the neighbors must go crazy, because I will play, once I think I've got something, I will play it thousands and thousands of times.
You're that guy.
Okay. All day long. And then at some point in the process, stream of consciousness lyrics come out, and I don't write lyrics, I just sing the lyric. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So it just comes out like out of nowhere.
It comes out of nowhere. I sing the lyric, and once I've sung it, I write it down so that I've, you know, got a record of it.
So when you're okay, now that you're doing it this way, and you riff it first, and then a lyric magically appears and comes out when you're riffing. Yeah. When you go to sit down to write something, is it an emotion you're pulling from? Is it an experience?
An emotion, yeah. It's something that's happened to me. It's something that I'm feeling strongly about. And I pick up the guitar and I like melody. I like certain chord sounds together. I don't know if you know Opeth, but that's one of the bands I'm really into. And Stephen Wilson, Porcupine Tree.
Perfect.
And I love the way they play with, you know, with chord structures.
Yes, yes.
Change fingers on frets and get a different sound. So I do the same sort of thing. And
yes, yes.
Sometimes I come up with something and I think, wow, that's pretty nice. I'll keep working with this, you know, and that's what I do.
So you've been yanked back, you know, for something that you left in the past, and it's now it wants your attention again, right? Is this what I'm getting?
That's right. And in fact, to some extent, it's overtaken the book writing, and my book publicist, I don't think he's very happy, because I keep sending him songs saying, what do you think? He's saying, well, great, I'd like the next book.
Your publicist is going, I need a book, Gary. Well, look, okay. Tell your, okay, and maybe your publicist is listening. I don't know. We're going to take your, let's take the songs, okay? Let's take the lyrics. Let's take the lyrics. Why can't you make a book about lyrics through your experiences and then give that to your publicist?
Well, I guess I kind of have, because I've put out probably 7 or 8 volumes of poetry, and it's stream of consciousness poetry too. And they get very good reviews, but, you know, poetry doesn't sell at all.
And no.
If I sell 10 books of poetry, that's pretty good. Whereas if I write a book like Black Eyed Kids, which is what your colleagues interviewed me on a few weeks ago.
Yes, yes.
I mean, a book like that will sell thousands of copies and sell, you know, 10 a day. So it's basically what people want. And unfortunately, people don't want poetry. They want ghost stories. They want to be frightened. They want to be scared. They want to be, you know, shivering under the covers in the darkness, I guess. And so that's what sells. And musically, you know, I'm not sure what my style is or how it comes, but I mean, you know, I like it. So
I do too. Well, yeah.
Like it, others will too. You know, there must be an audience out there for it somewhere, and I keep looking for it.
So I agree, and I'm sorry, I'm sitting here like brainstorming, going, okay, so what happens if we take the book of poetry and we make it interactive? You know, where, you know, there's. Wouldn't it be cool, like, if there was that music, if there was that stuff and it had the music behind it and it's still yours?
Yep.
You know? And there's a...
A friend of mine had an idea that maybe I should start going around some of the local cafes and bistros in Brno here, where there's a younger audience that speaks English, and sort of put together a talking show for an hour with, you know, use my music, use some of my poetry, read some of my stories, and sort of string
absolutely
together sort of a life experience theme.
Absolutely.
And I think that's not a bad idea, actually.
You know, there's we have one of our kids, I say, well, just one of our kids, they do a show on Thursday nights. It's actually the Radio Memphis Live Music Hour. And we have, like, live talent, you know, bands, newcomers, you know, but most of them have never seen a radio studio, let alone, you know, do an interview and stuff. And so, you know, we work with them and do stuff. But one of the things that Tundria also does is that, you know, as far as in Memphis and stuff, she goes to a lot of different events that are, there are spoken word events, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's this is the concept that you're talking about, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of people that dig that. There's a lot of people that dig that whole idea, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'll probably go in that direction, because it's a good way to get out and meet people too and have a social life.
Okay, so this is like a 10-step program for you.
Because if it were left to me, I'd probably sit at home writing music and books all day, you know, doing my job.
Well, you can't. You gotta like meet. You gotta talk to somebody sometimes.
Absolutely, I know. I go crazy some days. I work at home, you see. So I get out of bed. I go to my desk. You know.
Oh, so sometimes you don't even have to like.
I never spoke to a person.
You don't even have to change. You're like in your pajamas. You're probably in your pajamas right now, right?
No, not right now. But
okay,
it wouldn't be unusual to find me in my pajamas working here.
Perfect. Perfect. You know, honey, and those of you that are tuned in, I'm having a fantastic conversation with Gary Vassy. He's calling in all the way from the Czech Republic. I think that we're on to something here. And I, myself, I try to, like, wrap my head around something, you know, and I have to step back and I have to slap my hand sometimes and go, okay, you know, you can't make something magically happen, like, you know, just because you willed it, like, right now. But there's something very intriguing, you know, for me. And I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it with you yet. I don't know if it's, you know, there's it's, you know, it's kind of one of those things, like, it gets stuck in my head and I'm like, okay, something's gonna happen with this. And so you know, that's why, you know, of course, you calling in and me being able to talk to you, now I get to hear your voice. So it's one of those things where I get to kind of put two and two together. And it's you know, I just feel like, you know, presented in a certain manner, you know, there are some fantastic people that would probably be able to take this material and do something with that. And it's very important. It's very important when, you know, I look back on things that have happened, like, as far as, you know, the 80s and 90s and even the, you know, early 2000s, you know, there were a lot of bands, you know, that were fantastic and that were extremely talented, but they wound up getting catapulted, you know, into superstardom, you know, because they had somebody write a song for them, you know, that fit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it was, you know, the ability and the ability, those amazing songwriters, they knew that that's what they did. That's what, you know, they wrote beautifully. They created some amazing, you know, melodies, and they created some amazing stuff. But they knew that what they created was going to be, you know, it would fit somebody, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was, and that song that person created along with that band or that artist together married, you know, made it, you know, just a super project. And this is, you know, this is something that you already understand on the front end, and it's that's a powerful thought. It's a powerful statement. It's also scary, you know. At the same time, this can be like a really crazy, cool adventure.
Well, this is definitely what I'd like to do. I mean, you know, as I get older, I mean, you know, I don't see myself like, you know, as a rock star on the road or anything. But I'd love to work with bands. I'd love to work with artists and write songs for them, or have them take some of the material I've got right now and you know, do their own treatment of it. And I mean, years and years ago, when I first started out back in about 75, I did, in fact, a local playgoers society, which I don't know if you have that. I don't think you have that in the US, but in the UK they have these amateur dramatical societies, or at least they did back then.
Okay.
And they were doing an Alan Ayckbourn play, and they asked me to write six songs. Whilst they changed the scenery around between these six acts.
Okay.
And I did. I wrote the six songs. I was on the radio, interviewed them, you know, by the same radio, Humberside.
Wow.
Alan Ayckbourn apparently was very impressed with the material, but it never came to anything. And, you know, I guess I was too busy doing other things. But now, yeah, that would be my sort of number one objective, is somebody, you know, come along, record one of my songs, work with me, or ask me to write a song. I'd love to do it. It'd be awesome. The experience of a lifetime, really.
You need to do this. You need to do this. You know, there's got to be some places around you that do this here, and I know they do them there, because I talked to too many people from over there. It's like the singer-songwriter rounds, you know, and stuff like that, or people that are just like the open mic nights and stuff, and the people are just getting started, you know what I mean? And it's like they have the talent, but they may not. And it's so funny because there's so many artists and stuff that are musically talented, and you know, and they have fantastic voices. It's like, but their songwriting sucks. It's like, okay, hold on, let me help you with this. You know, there's you almost need to go be a scout and go, hey, you know what, I think you would do good if you would sing my song. You need to be a scout. You need to scout somebody to sing your stuff.
Maybe I do. Maybe that's a good idea. I've never thought about that, but
I mean why wouldn't you shoot? Yeah, I mean, that's still your baby, you know. I mean,
absolutely.
it's your song, you know, and you want it to, you be done justice, and you know, and you wanted somebody to just like having. I mean, this is what it's always told to me. Artists always like, it's like having a kid. It's one of your kids. So, you know, if you want somebody to, you know, the adoption agency to come by and adopt your kid, you want at least to make sure it's a good home.
Absolutely.
I mean, right? So, but how cool.
Yeah, and I mean, I've probably got that, I don't know, repertoire probably now already of about 36 songs recorded, thereabouts.
Well, now, and this is me thinking, like, I'm acting like I'm thinking for you, but this is me thinking for me, okay? Because, like, now I would be, like, I'm looking at my songs now going, okay, well, this changes the game now, you know? If I were to listen to the song, you know, would a girl be singing it? Would a guy be singing it? You know, would it sound country? Mm-hmm. Would it sound pop? Would it sound metal? Would it sound, you know what I mean? And it's kind of one of those, me personally, I have this thing where I've been trying to teach a lot of these artists, no matter what style they are, that whatever you've got going on, you have to be able to present it in an acoustic manner, okay? So, because you can go from, you know, playing a bar with, you know, 500 people packed in there, and you got the amps and everything blown out, to somebody may invite you to come play the coffee house. You know what I mean? Can you take what you do and can you transfer it to that idea? And it's amazing because these younger kids are so funny, because they're like, well, we've never not played with that without the amp. I'm like, have you tried it? You know? But here's the thing for you, you know. I guess I would start with, you know, going to some of these singer-songwriters, or, you know, in some of these acoustic shows and acts and stuff, and finding out, you know, your song has a personality. You know what I mean? Who's, whose personality fits with your song. It's like, hey, you know what? Can I talk to you? Would you consider this? Whatever. You may find out that you're going to wind up picking up like another 4 or 5 you know, children that you're going to have to call kids and, you know, and claim on taxes and stuff because all of a sudden, you know, you are going to wind up, you know, being, you know, creative for somebody. But that's ultimately kind of how those relationships, you know, kind of work, you know, massive songwriters, you know, when I think about, you know, people like the Diane Warrens and, you know, and all those people that wrote, you know, there's like 5 songwriters that wrote all the hits for the 80s, you know what I mean? And their songs went everywhere. But, you know, the opportunity always started with, you know, them locking in with an artist and helping develop that style along with their music. And so you need to go be a stalker. That's what I'm telling you. You need to go.
I think you're probably right. That part of the problem is my location. You know, Bryn Mawr, Czech Republic. It's about 300,000 people. It's in, you know, deepest, darkest Central Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And my language skills are not the best in the world, like most English people. And if I was still in Houston, I think it would be a much easier proposition. Even if I was living in Prague or was in Vienna, you know, it would be an easier proposition. But Bryn Mawr, it's a little tougher, but and so, you know, I'm hoping that doing things like this will help.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's somebody listening that has some interest in a different.
Oh, absolutely! Look,
get in touch with me.
Absolutely, absolutely, and of course, you know, we're always, you know, any help that I can be, or, you know, suggestions and stuff. If I'm like, hey, what about this guy? You know, I mean, I'm all for it. You know, I don't want you to shoot yourself in the foot and think about, you know, that there isn't anybody that's around per se. You know, coming from Memphis and the blues and the rock, and everybody talks about some of the stuff, you know, a lot of these people were discovered, you know, on the front porch, you know, somewhere deep down in the South, you know, where nobody knew them. And you know, there was no audience, there was no TV, there was no internet, there was no electricity, you know. So the opportunity is there, but there may be, you know, there may be a thing. And also too, I have, golly, see, this is cool. You're a cool dude, because all of a sudden my mind is like just blown out of proportion, going, man, we could do this. We could do this. We need to make this page. You know, you need to actually, you know, say, you know, we're making you a songwriter. And we're going to tell everybody that, look, you know, these are your drafts and your ideas and stuff like that. You know, you're looking for somebody that can actually represent the personality of this. These songs have personalities. These songs have souls. These songs, you know, they have an identity, you know. What is that identity?
Yeah, and it's interesting, as I say. I mean, they never come out quite what I expect. I think, you know, there is a lot of emotion behind them. And
sure there is.
I try to express the emotion through harmonics, different beats, different sounds, different vocal styles, that kind of thing. And so I think, you know, I mean, my work is fairly, it's not, it doesn't sound all the same. There's quite a lot of variation there. So, it's interesting how this has developed from an idea just, you know, I just thought one day I'll just write a song, because I have a little home recording thing and I can write a song now and I'll do it. And then I thought, well, hang on a minute, I'll do an album and I'll put the album out just for fun and see what happens. And it just went from there, really, you know.
No, there's so much that we can do with this. Really? Really? There's so much we can do with this.
Good.
I'm willing to help.
Sounds good to me.
I love this. I'm willing to help, man. Because, I mean, it'd be too much. It's too much fun. You know, it's way too much fun. Out of curiosity, who is the biggest musical influence on you?
Now, that's a tough question. Because, people who listen, friends who listen to some of my stuff, they'll come back. And the people they say absolutely astound me. Because they would, and it sounds, I don't even want to say it because it sounds, it's a comparison I wouldn't dare make, but they'll come back and say T-Rex and David Bowie.
And David Bowie, I can understand,
like, maybe a little bit further on, maybe a little bit punky. Mm-hmm. You know, some sort of post-punk sort of sound.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's like the biggest compliment in the world. The first music I started listening to was T-Rex, and David Bowie was shortly thereafter, and you know, so that would be it would be like my earliest listening is perhaps what's influencing me. And someone said that End of the World, you know, sounded almost Bowie-ish and was getting closer and closer to a real finished end product.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need an alias for you. We need it. Oh, come on.
Change my name. I'm getting confused already.
No, we're not going to change your name. You're always going to be Gary Vassie, and everybody's going to be able to find you and the ghosts and all that other stuff and your cool, you know, metaphysics and, you know, the all the smart stuff you're talking about, because it blows my mind. But no, I mean, you know. You want to, you know, yeah, it's like Stardust. You want to be that crazy dude behind the curtain. Yeah, you know, don't even act like you.
Most of my friends think I'm crazy already writing music for you.
You know I'm right. But how cool that's it, man. You set the whole platform up. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to have to.
I'll tell you a funny story. I mean, I started writing the books. I thought, I don't know if I want my professional, you know, my professional colleagues to know that I'm doing this. So I thought, well, I'll be clever. I'll drop the first name Gary to G and use my middle name Michael. Yeah, G Michael.
Yes.
And of course, you know, a few years after that, Google solved the problem for everybody. If you look at G Michael or Gary M, it doesn't matter. Same person comes up, so everybody knows it's me anyway.
You know, I was wondering about that because your sites and everything. That's why I was earlier on. We haven't talked. You know, this is the first time I verbally talked to each other, and it comes like G Michael Vassie and stuff. And it was kind of, and I was one. I wondered if that was what you were doing, but that was like. That was not a really good attempt to try to hide who you were.
Not really, no.
I mean...
it's funny because, my primary business, you know, I'll be at a conference or something.
Right.
Someone will say, I read one of your ghost books.
And how do you deal with that? I mean, because like I said, you know, it was, you know... That's how we were introduced to, you know, to you was through all the ghosts and, you know, the boogeyman and all this other stuff that you've got.
Yeah, talk to me about black-eyed kids, that was the topic.
Which is scary. I mean, look, that stuff is scary. I'm with you, man. It's scary. But then you do stuff and you're an analyst and you do commodity trade. You got books out on this stuff. You write about metaphysics and things like that. It's like, who are you? Yeah. Who are you?
Well, the book writing is interesting because I was always afraid, you know. I was always afraid of the dark and I saw ghosts and stuff like that. And I guess as I got to be about, I don't know, mid-30s, I decided to try to find a way to conquer that fear. So I joined a school of magic. There are actually schools of magic, yeah? Not just in Harry Potter books, but real ones. And I joined one in...
Man, UK. I so want to go there
and I
now.
I did a 5-year correspondence course, got, you know, initiated first degree, second degree, actually supervised for them for a while, and I'm still sort of interested in all that stuff. And someone said, well, you know, you're a reasonable writer. Why don't you write a book about, you know, the experience of working with the School of Magic through meditation, Kabbalah, and all this kind of stuff, Tree of Life.
Wow.
So I wrote the book. And the book was taken by a publisher, and it sold reasonably well.
Yeah, it did.
And
I saw.
And then, you know, I thought, well, if I've done one, why don't I do a second? And, you know, then you get the book, and before you know it, you've written 40 books.
I know. That's my whole point. You've written a ton of books. But see, now that we know that, yes, an alias, a man behind the curtain, this musical magic thing. That is the next step.
Well, same with music. I decided to write one song, and you know, now I've written, I don't know, probably I've probably got about 38 songs out there, I think, and I've probably got 100 on the computer. So. I'm just creative. I can't help myself.
Fantastic,
and I love it. I enjoy it.
I'm glad you do. You know, all kidding aside, I'm glad you do, and. I want to thank you for sharing, you know, those moments and stuff with us here. I'm very serious, you know. I am going to put my head, you know, together on the idea. And maybe you understand and maybe you don't. It's rare. it is rare, you know, Rick and I, Rick who created Radio Memphis, you know, we both sit down, and it is rare to find somebody that knows how to stay in their lane. You understand what I mean when I said that?
Yeah.
And when you are so adamant about creating something that you want somebody to take and make it, you know, fly is an amazing thought. It's an amazing moment, because there's so many people that write and they're like, I'm gonna perform it. It's my song, and it's like, it's an amazing song.
No. I mean, I record the songs and I put them out there in... I mean, obviously, I want people to listen, but I want people to listen to the song, not to me. It's the song that's important. I'm a bit older. I was a choir boy when I was in my teens and I could sing, but my singing voice isn't wonderful. My guitar skills are not the best in the world. I'm self-taught. You know, what I'd like is a bunch of professional musicians.
Yeah, those two.
A bunch of professional musicians that really can execute and really have the precision and really like the song and give it a slightly different tack. But it's still the same song. And to work with people like that would just be a buzz. You know,
perfect.
Completely.
Perfect. Well, we'll see what we can kind of stir up for you on that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, like I said, you calling in from the Czech Republic. Thank you for doing that. You know, that means a lot to us here at Radio Memphis. You have got my contact information. Okay, yep. You've got my email and stuff like that. And you know, you and I will keep in touch with each other. Okay, and I'm gonna put my head, you know, against the wall on a couple of things, and I'm gonna try to figure out a couple of things, and I don't know. Maybe an alias that doesn't include any of your initials. I'm kidding. Everybody knows who you are now, so it doesn't matter. But no, I just, you know, just the whole idea of you know, yeah, scouting out somebody you think would be a good fit for your song. You know, look at it that way.
Yeah.
Look at it that way.
I'm doing that here, sure. Mm-hmm. I've got to start listening to some bands and seeing if I can find some local talent that want to do. But
they,
you know, as I say, unfortunately, it's the Czech Republic, so they want to sing in Czech and all this kind of stuff.
Bingo. See? You're already started. Gary, if people are looking for you, and they want to reach out to you, and they want to get in touch with you, what's the easiest way for them to get to you?
Well, they can contact me through my website, GaryEmbassy.com, or they can find me pretty much automatically if they just Google me by name. I'm sure they'll find me. But GaryMVZ@gmail.com is my email address.
Sure.
If they want to listen to the music, any Spotify, Deezer, anything like that, they can find me, G. Michael Vasey or Vasey or whatever, on there. And that's how they find me, yeah.
Awesome. Well, of course, if you need anything from me, okay, and you know how to get to me, just let me know, okay?
Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. I've enjoyed talking to you. I've had a lot of fun. This has been great. Now I got to figure out what book I'm going to go get so I can learn more about who you are. I'm getting ready.
I recommend Inner Journeys. That's the first one, and that will tell you who I am.
Perfect. Okay, well then there you go. So you just told on yourself, so now I know which one to get. Good deal. I'm gonna play Crazy for everybody, you know, taking everybody out of this interview and stuff.
Okay,
reach out to me and let me know what you got going on, and yeah, let's keep in touch with this.
I'll stay in touch. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thanks again, Gary.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gary Vasey right here on Radio Memphis, Radio Memphis Around the World. That was kind of fun. That was kind of a special interview. And I know that you guys have heard me talk. There's been, you know, there's so much stuff that winds up coming in through us, to us through Radio Memphis. And, you know, and it is so amazing when you find some people that are extremely talented in writing and extremely talented in songwriting. What I want you to do is, you know, and those of you, there's some of you that do some research and they like to do, you know, they like to kind of look about what's going on as far as the industry and stuff right now. If you look right now, okay, and this is going on right now, if you look right now, you're going to see that there's some several companies, there's several groups and organizations and stuff like that have really decided that they are trying to invest their efforts into finding some actual songwriters, because they know that, you know, if somebody is able to write that perfect song or write that perfect melody, you know, and pair it up, you know, with that perfect band or artist, you know, this is what's going to wind up, you know, kind of, you know, one of the secret keys that gets unlocked. And so when I get to come across something like this, and you know, and there's somebody that's like that's talented as far as in their songwriting, and this is what they want to do, it's almost like, okay, I found a piece of gold. Carrie Vassey, all right? And if you guys, if you look under G. Michael Vassey is a lot of times what he comes up under. He's got a website you can go to. And yes, you're going to see all the crazy cool things that he does, not only with the music and stuff, you know, with the paranormal, and of course, the stuff that he does with his day job. Amazon, he's got a slew of books. So definitely go check him out. But in the meantime, what we're going to do is we're going to play a song from another one. It was actually the very first one that he ever sent to me right here in Radio Memphis. I want to share it with you. It's called Crazy. Then after that, we got a quick word from our friends in FSN. We got some more music before we end the show right here on Radio Memphis Around the World.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.